Yes. Come, those little children, what do they want to ask me? Let me hear them first. What do you want to say? Let me hear you.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
So, please, I have mainly two questions. The first question is, can somebody make heaven without baptism?
What type of baptism?
The Holy Ghost baptism.
You can't, because Holy Ghost baptism is Christ in you, the hope of glory. No Christ in you by the Holy Ghost, no rapture. Yes.
Okay, so my second question is, let's say now the person is willing to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and let's say that he's in a boarding school, and maybe the war should end. What will happen to the person? Like, is he willing to get baptized by the Holy Ghost, then, and the war should end, and he's in a boarding school? He has also something like up to 3 days.
You pray in boarding schools? Once you are in any estate where you can pray, then you are also in an estate to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, because that Holy Ghost can come to you in your dormitory. While you are lying down on your bed there, the Holy Ghost can visit you there. While you are in the school chapel, the Holy Ghost can visit you there. While you are even in your evening prep, the Holy Ghost can visit you there. While you are having your private prayer, the Holy Ghost, even in the bathroom where you are bathing, the Holy Ghost can come there. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, and you?
Hello.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
The question I wanted to ask is about the difference between Holy Ghost baptism and deliverance.
And deliverance.
Yes, sir.
In fact, the crowning of your deliverance is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every man is possessed until he has received the Holy Ghost. Ask your neighbor, have you received the Holy Ghost? If your neighbor say no, tell and say you are possessed. Every human being, without the Holy Ghost, you are worse than an animal. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it is also a time for deliverance. And the only true deliverance anybody can receive is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If not, that spirit. That is why he said that when a demon is cast out of a man, he goes wandering up and down. The later on comes back to say, let me see my house before, and finds it empty. Empty of what? Because there must be a spirit in you. That house must be occupied. It's either occupied by a demon or it's occupied by the Holy Ghost. So since he didn't see Holy Ghost, he said, now because are they only one? Now they chased me out that time. He will go and look for 7 more wicked ones than him. And comes. And that is why I pity people who go for deliverance without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost after. Your condition will get worse. It is thus said the Lord. It's the Bible. So there is no difference between baptism of the Holy Ghost and deliverance.
Thank you, sir. My second question is, like, if a person is going to church regularly, can he make heaven?
Regularly. Praise the Lord. I will say yes and no. Amen. Because after justification, your sins are washed away. Until Christ comes, we are washed by the water of the word. We come to church to hear the word. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So it is the word of God that cleanses us every time we are washed, that keeps our garments spotless. So yes, that is the advantage of coming to church. You come to hear things, and also you come to church so that you too can participate and then supply your own part in the body of Christ. With the talent you have, you use it to serve God as you come to church. But also, it is not just about coming to church, because there are people that come to church and they are not saved. So it is not about coming to church. It's about coming to church and benefiting from the reason why people come to church. I think I've answered you. So make sure you don't stop coming to church.
Shalom. Yes. I have two questions to ask, and one of them is, what is the difference between baptism and Holy Ghost baptism?
No, baptism is baptism. Now, baptize is a Greek word for being immersed. So you are either immersed in water or you are immersed in the Holy Ghost. So that is the meaning of baptism. Now, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, we should go into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Okay. And then verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized. He that believe the gospel we preach and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And it is two baptisms. Water baptism to wash away your sins, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost as eternal life for conversion.
Can you get the Holy Ghost with water baptism?
No. The timing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not, it's God that determines the timing. Now, there are some that immediately you come out of the water, immediately you receive the Holy Ghost there. Some, after the water baptism, it could take you months before you receive the Holy Ghost. And some, again, receive the Holy Ghost first before they go for the water baptism. It is God that determines the timing.
Thanks, sir.
Have you received the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
You have received the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
When?
June camp.
Clap your hands now. How do you know you received the Holy Ghost?
Because when I've been like now, I've been tempted for me to do something bad. Like something in me will tell me that what I'm trying to do is bad.
Hey, clap your hands now. Come and shake me, Joe. In fact, let me show on you. I'll give you better money. This is my eternal brother. We shall live eternally with him. Some of you, now only church brother will not be. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, now only church here will go. And after that, now heaven will go. What's your name?
Samuel Efion.
Samuel Efion. Where is your father? Where is he? Let's clap for the father now. Let's clap for the father. Let's clap for the father. What of your mother?
My mother. She says she's going to come, but I don't know if she's here.
Okay. Praise the Lord. God bless you. More grace. Go and sit down.
Thanks.
Yes, can I hear a sister now? Who? Yes.
Shalom, church. My first question is the spirit and soul together?
Eh?
Is the spirit and soul together?
The spirit and the soul.
Together.
Are they together?
Yes.
The Bible speaks about the body, the spirit, and the soul. I believe that the spirit and the soul are one and the same thing. That is what I believe. The spirit and the soul, I believe, is the same thing.
My second question is,
yes,
is it right for a pastor to have a wife and also have a wife outside?
You too, answer me. Is it right? No, you too, answer me. Is that right? Next question.
Is it good for a pastor to, as in the owner of a church, as I should just say, overseer, should be bearing a general overseer? Is it good?
Are you a member of this church?
Yes.
For how long?
1 year.
For 1 year? Which church were you worshiping before?
Mountain of Fire.
Eh?
Mountain of Fire.
Now, why are you asking that question? Let me find out. Why do you think it is wrong?
Why I was asking the question is that in the church I attend, the pastor is answering General Overseer. General Overseer Olukoya. And here I'm hearing that Pastor Moses is Overseer. So it's confusing me.
Okay.
Which one is General Overseer and which one is Overseer?
That's a good one. You think people are not understanding what we are not being restored to the Bible. Clap your hands for Jesus. Now, that's the restoration. There is something that Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. Now, in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 20, am I correct? Praise the Lord. Verse 20, 27 and 28. Verse 27. That was his last speech before he left. He said, "For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Verse 28 is my emphasis. "Take heed therefore unto yourself." He was addressing the ministers. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you what? General overseers? What did he make you? Made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Every local church has the overseer for that church. In whatever location you are in. I am Pastor Moses. I am the overseer of Bride Assembly Church. Olukoya is the overseer of Mountain of Fire. Lazarus Mwoka is the overseer of Lord Choosing. Baba Adeboye is the overseer of Redeem. And the Holy Ghost is the general overseer. Do you understand now? So it is wrong for somebody to say he is the general overseer. He is taking the title of the Holy Ghost. And I believe they do that not knowing what they are doing. And may they catch this revelation and take their proper position in Jesus' name.
The last one is,
yes.
What is the cause of the recent disappearance of the moon? Is it one of the signs of the end time?
That what?
The disappearance of the moon.
Where it disappear ago? The ones that the Muslims were looking for the past. It has appeared again now. Okay now. I don't know anything. The moon has never disappeared. It's still on. After every 28 days, you will see it again. Okay, God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Shalom, Shosh. Sir, my question in the last Sunday, that is the last Sunday of last month, you mentioned briefly in the sermon that there was a virgin birth before the virgin birth of Christ.
Oh, yeah, there's history that shows it.
So I want you to say more on that.
I am saying that Mary is not the first one that gave birth to virgin birth. History has shown it. Go to the internet, there are plenty. You see the history there. I was using it to tell you that once anything is written already concerning salvation, Satan will go ahead to pervert it. To divert your attention from what God wants to do. That's why I mentioned it. That even the virgin birth is not only Mary that have made that claim. They have made that claim. I'm talking of the claim being made that the virgin gave birth, whether it is right or wrong, but our claims that we have done before, Satan staged it so that they would divert them from the prophecy of Isaiah. But I also say nobody can, you know, stop the program of God.
Yeah, my second question, sir.
Yes.
You mentioned of self-deliverance.
Self-deliverance.
That one can deliver himself.
Sure.
Or perhaps maybe a member of the family. But from my Christian experience, sir, I rely on that scripture that said that this sign shall follow those ones that believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will lay hand on the sick, and they will get hold. But that second part, by the grace of God, I've been practicing it even in the church or within my family. But the act of actual deliverance, I've wanted to ask that question before now, has not been possible.
Which one among the signs that talk about deliverance?
You know, it's, in that fast, it's two together. Deliverance and laying hand on the sick to make whole. But
okay, you are referring to casting out devil,
yes,
as deliverance.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So what's your question?
That is, in my own practice, I've seen it not possible or doesn't work that way.
For you to cast out devil?
Yes, yes, sir.
As an individual?
Yes, sir.
But you speak in tongue?
Yes.
You heal
and
the
sick? And I do pray for sick by the grace of God.
And the sick, yes, will, sir, receive healing.
Yes, sir.
Have you also tried to take poison, whether it will work or not?
We should not tempt God.
Have you tried to take a snake, whether it will bite you or not?
We should not tempt God, sir. That's what he says, sir. That is tempting God.
Listen, church, get the proper understanding of that verse, and this sign shall follow them that believe. It's not saying that every Christian will heal the sick, we cast out devil. Every Christian cannot heal the sick, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is the gift of healing, and all cannot have the gift of healing. And all cannot speak in tongue. But yet he said, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they will speak in new tongue. What that scripture is saying is that among us like this, these gifts will be among us. There will be some here. I mean, these gifts will be among us. There will be the healing gift. There will be those who will be speaking in tongue. And then there will be those again. You will see miracles, signs, and wonders. To take up a serpent and it does not hurt you is a miracle, not a gift. To drink poison and it doesn't hurt you, it's not a gift. It is a miracle. So he's saying that among you, miracles, signs, and wonders will be taking place. That is why we always have testimonies. So everybody cannot speak in tongues, but when you come like this, these gifts must be operating among you people. That is the meaning of that verse. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Early February, sir, I sent you a text message. I think we had a program then. Other people from other states were here. When you were asking how they got to know about the ministry, many people, just like myself, responded that they got the ministry through the Bright Television.
Yes.
I sent you that text message. And when I was meditating on that point, sir, I don't know if you remember the message, then God exposed me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Because you actually gave a response to that message. That is why I'm referring to it. So when that is, blessed are those ones that are hungry and thirsty
for righteousness,
they shall be filled.
Yes.
So when I got that verse, then I was thinking, what is the relevance of that verse and what my thinking or my thoughts? When it now continued to reveal to me that, yes, some of us know it before that, the food and drinking stuff, he was talking is about the that of the Spirit. That actually, and that is what is being given here.
Amen.
That the Ketra is Pastor Moses.
Ketra.
Yes, the man that is making the cooking.
The chef.
Yes, it's Pastor Moses.
The chef.
And the one that is providing the raw materials himself, the raw food, is Lord, he himself, the Lord, the owner of the church.
Yes.
Now, when you cook, some people must serve it. It must be served. And that is the position of bride assembly in the schemes of things. But the message that follows is the one that is prompting me to say something about it tonight. Because anytime I remember that, if I should call it a revelation exposition, he continued to tell me that I have not delivered that message. But he gave response to that, the concluding part of that message, that every bride of Christ throughout the world should endeavor to sustain that channel. Okay. You gave that response that surely God will actually use his children to sustain the channel.
Yes.
That was the response you gave.
Yes.
So my message to the bride of Christ worldwide is that every one of us, not necessarily when we are in Bride Assembly Lagos, anybody that believes in this message all over the world should endeavor to support this, to sustain this channel, that is the Bride Television.
Amen.
So that I believe by delivering this message, my heart will
Thank
be free.
You.
So not, I know a bit about running a church, especially those church that what they are interested in the salvation of men is not always easy financially. So I think we had this on many occasions. You don't always like want to emphasize on contribution, but there's nothing one can do. You said that so that you not be misunderstood.
Sure.
But at the same time, every Christian supposed to know that when we remember that 7 years of grace, I think we have just 5.5 years more. That after 5.5 years, anything can happen. And he go on to say that
Amen.
Within this period, he's going to bring all his children, no matter where they are, whether they believe or not. But how do we get to them? It's through this medium. Therefore, God is employing every bride throughout the world to make sure that they have their own contribution in propagating this gospel, especially
Thank
through
you
Bride Television. May God help us.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. It's true. But I always believe also that when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, we must not present it as if God is helpless. And then we should please come and help God to spread the gospel. No, that is why I've not been too much into such emphasis. And I believe that if a man loves his wife, love is expressed in giving. I believe it. Praise God. Now, the ministry, generally, they are in phases. Every church starts from the evangelistic stage. And this is the stage that we are still in now. Our emphasis is for the people to get converted, to know the truth, and respond appropriately. When they come in, you will remind them before they will sponsor the medium by which they themselves, they got saved. So we are getting there. We are getting there. I believe that one day, some people will take it upon themselves and say, this medium that has saved me, God has used to save me, I owe this medium my own contribution. Now, it will not be through some way we stand at the pulpit and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. No. God, who's established that ministry, he will sustain it. God bless you. Thank you very much for that admonishment. Amen. Okay. A question from Portugal. Hilary from Portugal. Pastor, please, can you explain what a treasure the treasure of darkness is in Isaiah 55 verse 3. Let's read Isaiah 45 verse 1, 2, 3. Isaiah 45 verse 1, 2, 3. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two lived gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Treasures of darkness, it means, and those hidden in treasures, hidden in places, simply tells you that the wealth that you didn't know about, I will give you. That's all. Pure and simple. To Cyrus. Amen. Okay. Who again?
Praise the Lord, church.
Yes.
So I have three questions that always give me a sleepless night.
You will sleep after today.
One is from the book of Matthew 27, verse 3 to 5.
27, verse 25. Can you read it?
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself.
What's your question?
My question here is,
are you related to Judas? Why are you having sleepless night over what happened to Judas?
Yeah, I wanted to know, is this supposed to be sign of remorse or repentance?
That was his own way of demonstrating his repentance. And don't go and repent like that, though.
So don't kill yourself. Mean that Judas make heaven, finally?
Eh?
Means that Judas make heaven.
When we get there, you ask of him. Because I made a statement that generated a lot of controversy. People are looking for me to say something, they will call me false. Over something that does not go. Whether Judas go heaven or no go, let me make my own calling and election sure.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
My second question happened when I was still a kid. Incident happened with a father of my father in God then. This, my pastor was being at times, armed robber would be coming to his house. They would attack him several times. So he has to apply for a pistol. So the Nigeria police later gave him a pistol for self-defense. And one day we were in the church. He was preaching. Along the line, he finished the preaching. He has to step outside in order to test this pistol. So the drum, this tanker. So he has to fire the bullets on the tanker. And the reflection of that bullet go back to him. And the pastor died in the incident. So since then, I've been contemplating. Is he committing murder now, or is it a sin? What he's doing now? I don't understand.
And he died.
He died.
Now, listen. How could he have applied for a firearm that he's not trained to use? He was very foolish. And I don't know why the police will give him a firearm when he's not trained to use it. You don't go to get a firearm when you don't know how to use it. You will kill yourself. And that is exactly what he did. He didn't know how to use it because he was not trained to use it. So it killed him. So he died from his foolishness. He didn't deliberately kill himself. It's like driving roughly and then something happened and you have an accident and you die. Huh? Praise the Lord. So he didn't commit any sin. He just died from his foolishness.
So my third question is about...
The last one, I hope. That's the last question.
Yes.
Thank you.
My third question is about the incident of Moses. When God asked Moses to stab the rock just once for the children of Israel, and with the annoyance, Moses has to stab the rock three times. And with that annoyance, it was then that God appeared to Moses that, why do you stab it three times, something of that. But he died in that very place. Does it mean that Moses is going to heaven or not?
That, you see, when we talk about, that is exactly what I was trying to explain about the mercy of God, about eternal security, and about the call of God that is without repentance. And then I use the worst case scenario of Judas, and many people, including even church members here, misunderstand what I was saying, because to them, what Judas did is unpardonable. So much unpardonable until the prayer that Jesus offered on the cross, "Father, forgive those who are killing me, for they don't know what they are doing." Others can benefit from it, but Judas cannot benefit from it because they lack the knowledge of the depth of God's mercy and the mystery of salvation. Moses, amen, was called by God. And Moses died because he did something contrary. And God was using him to teach us, as great as Moses is, he, God, is no respecter of persons. And all the same thing, like Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, I can tell you boldly that they are children of God. They didn't go to hell. But that is the depth of the mystery of salvation. Until a man, look at the language that Apostle Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Concerning that man that took his father's wife. There is a language that is used there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then, verse 4 and verse 5. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning his judgment, to deliver such a one unto Satan, that man that collected his father's wife, slept with his father's wife. What for? Deliver him unto Satan for what? For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Salvation process is deep. Listen, church. God only deals with his own children. The same way that every earthly father deals with his own children, that is how our heavenly father deals with us. That is why the wicked world, they are prospering. Armed robbers will come and nothing is happening to them. Ritual killers, they are progressing. Because they have no relationship with God. So God has no business with them. He's waiting for them at the lake of fire. He has concluded their own. But his own, when you commit anything, say whom he loves, it chastises. And sometimes you deal with one so that the others will learn. It is a family affair. It has nothing to do with their eternal destination. They are his own. And he can never disown them. That is the position with Moses. That is the position with Saul. That is the position with even David. That is the position with this man in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira and the rest. That is different from serpent seeds that are in the church. See, if you are living in sin and you claim you have the Holy Ghost, you're a Christian, you're born again, and you deviate from God and go into iniquity and nothing is happening to you, that may be evidence that you have no relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, it will deal with you so that you will repent. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
And sometimes he'll be waiting for you to repent. That's why he didn't strike immediately. He will speak to you. He will send message to you. You will see for a dream. You still go on. You do. Then when your cup don't full, it will drag you. When he finish with you, before you recover, you go know, say, there is a God in heaven. Yes.
Sir, there's this young girl. Why? Before she's not born again when she got married. But the first issue she has, the man that get married to her, the child did not belong to that man. She got the child from another man, why married to another man? So when she repented, she went searching for the man that owned that first child. And they found out that the man is dead. Now, in her Christian life, she's finding it difficult to live without confessing that. So when she come to me and explained this.
Confessing to who?
She want to confess to her husband.
The husband is not aware of it.
No, he's not aware. So when she come to me and, you know, after telling me everything and I said, I pause. There's nothing, I search what to tell her, nothing.
There's nothing to search. She must confess it to her husband.
Okay.
At the risk of anything. But let me assure you, if she's truly born again, God will go ahead of her to the heart of that man.
Okay.
That is how God works.
Okay.
And if she's doing it to free her conscience, because she knows that she's covering something the man should know. The man should know.
Okay,
so
sir.
Tell her.
Thanks.
She should go and tell the man.
Thank you, sir.
A question on the screen, Brother Francis from Abuja. Why is God called the Lord of hosts? Could that be the reason why some people worship the hosts, that is the body of Christ? Which one is that? What type of fast is 6 to 12, 6 to 3, 6 to 6, etc.? As we can see, Christians declare. But I can't find such in the scripture. But do you find fasting in the scripture? If you find fasting in the scripture, then is there any timing given in the scripture concerning fast? Now that's exactly what I have explained earlier. That you don't approach the gospel on a legalistic point. You are to say instead if there's anything contrary to that in the Bible. You determine how you want to fast. You can decide I will fast for only 2 hours. You can decide I will fast 3 days. You determine it for whatever reason you are doing the fast for. And then the second one, what did he say? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Host there is referring to armies that fight battle. And it is another way of describing him as the mighty one in battle. He is the captain of our salvation. He's talking about spiritual warfare and he's the general in charge. That is the meaning of the Lord of hosts. In another place, say, I am the captain of the host of the armies of the Lord. God bless you.